Okay. We are on section number 3, informal interviews. We are now on number 4 in 2445 in regards to Laurel McAnany, DVM. Okay, this is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. McAnany in case number 2445. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 32-2234. Dr. McAnany, would you please come forward, introduce yourself, and if you have legal counsel.
Hello, I'm Dr. Laurel McAnany.
Okay, yeah. Let's see if I can pronounce that correctly. Okay, Dr. McAnany, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation, with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all of the materials you have submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this matter to give a brief summary of this case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. James, would you please give us a brief summary of the case?
This is case 2445. On September 23rd, 2023, Buddy, a 12-year-old male Labrador retriever, was presented to the respondent for vomiting. Diagnostics were completed. Hypoglycemia and an elevated ALT was seen on blood work, and no obvious foreign body was noted on radiographs. Hospitalization was offered by the respondent, and the complainant agreed. On September 24th, 2023, the dog had a seizure early in the morning. The dog was given an antiepileptic drug, and blood glucose readings were taken throughout the hospitalization. At around 10 a.m., the dog was no longer breathing and CPR was performed. The owner elected to stop CPR a short time later, and the dog passed away.
Okay, thank you. Dr. McAnany, at this time, I would like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Thank you.
Okay. Doctor, we'd now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
So, in regards to the x-rays that were taken, there is one abdominal view that was missing a marker. However, the other three views that were taken did have their markers. Unfortunately, we did not know at the time, but when we downloaded those x-rays to the JPEG files, the information was not stamped onto those x-rays, and they were sent on to the other clinic that requested them. We have since fixed that with IDEX. They have since fixed that error in their program, so that now all the information stamped, or the markers, the information, the patient ID, everything is now on those JPEGs when you download them.
Okay.
Does that go back and fix the ones that were downloaded prior?
It does not, to my knowledge.
Well, just to follow up on that, was it a setting where it just didn't print, or was it missing from the actual system?
It was missing from the actual system. There was a box that just was not clicked to when you download the JPEGs for the information to transfer over.
But on the actual computer system, the server, did it have the name?
It does, yes, on the actual system it does.
So it just didn't transfer over and print, but so there's nothing to fix. It's just, we printed it and it was blank, but it's sitting here just
so you could reprint it with it.
Well, if they printed one up like 6 months ago and sent it and it has no information, they didn't go back and reprint
right.
that. But it, but the information was is in the system, it just didn't get
got it.
Now it's automatically transferred on. Right. This digital stuff is hard.
Did you have anything else that you wanted to add before we open up to more questions from board members?
And then in regards to the incorrect x-rays that were in this patient's file, that was an previously, when those x-rays, the incorrect x-rays were taken, the ID was put in incorrectly. So our old system, you had to go into the x-ray computer, type in the client or patient ID, and then that would get transferred into that patient's file. Unfortunately, the ID was typed in incorrectly and therefore went into Buddy's file. That has now been fixed. We have a new system where you can only request the records by going through that patient's chart, going into their patient visit list, and requesting x-rays that way, as our PACS and Cornerstone program are now integrated.
Okay, if you have nothing further, then now it's the time if any board members have any questions for you.
From a communication with this owner perspective, I mean, obviously you talked to the owner at the time of admittance, but then after that, what can you describe the communication that happened with the owner?
So at, I believe it was 1 a.m. when Buddy had his seizure, I was still in the hospital at that point. So the seizure occurred, we gave the medication. I then called the owner at that point and let her know that this had happened and that this was not a good prognostic indicator for Buddy, but we'd be keeping a close eye on him throughout the night. We have a nurse in the ICU at all times when we have a seizure watch patient. But I did let her know that that had happened and that we would be in touch with any, if anything else were to change or happen, we would let her know.
And then, did you leave the clinic before anything else changed, so you didn't have any further communication with the owner?
Not that night. And then at 10 a.m. when they noticed that he was no longer breathing and started to perform CPR, the nurse in the hospital called me, and then I called the owner and let her know what was happening at that point, and that was when she elected to discontinue CPR.
Okay. And then from 1 a.m. when you called about the seizure, through to 10 a.m. the next day when they noticed that there was no respirations. Did anyone else contact the owner?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
The nurse in the morning of the hospital called the owner and let them know, hey, you know, nothing's really changed overnight. We'll be in touch if anything happens.
Okay. Do you know about what time that happened?
I don't recall, but it should be in the record.
So there was somewhere around the 6 a.m. hour, there was some discussion around the dog being unable to swallow. And I'm just wondering if that was communicated, you know, to the owner that, hey, we now have another symptom that is progressing.
Not to my knowledge directly was that communicated. I was unaware of that even until they told me at the 10 o'clock mark. Like, hey, you know, he wasn't really taking his medications. And now this is what is, we're now performing CPR and this is what's happening. But going back and reading the records later, I saw that, okay, we didn't get those 6 a.m. medications because he was not swallowing.
Okay. And then I know that the letter that was sent after everything, Buddy passed away, is probably not something that you do, but can you describe how that letter would have been sent so incorrectly wrong?
Which letter are we referring to?
There was a letter that was sent, I don't even know where it is exactly. It was to inform that the pet's medical condition is considered stable and that they've been released for further care. But obviously at this point the pet's passed away, so I'm not sure exactly what that was. Did everyone else saw this?
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a second, because I mess up cases, because they're looking at me like, what? And then it goes on, it looks like it was a client termination. But then it goes on to say, choosing a veterinarian will, you know, give you your records. But at this point, Buddy's already passed away. And so I'm just kind of trying to understand, because I could see from a client perspective that that would be pretty traumatic. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure how that happened.
I was not aware that that was the contents of that letter. However, my assumption at this point with that would be it's more of a canned letter when we do terminate client relationships, and we just didn't do the proofreading for that.
Did this owner ask you about a necropsy?
Not me specifically, no.
Okay.
So you did do CPR on Buddy, correct?
Correct.
I did not see it in the medical record.
the actual volumes were, was I missing it somewhere?
There should be a CPR chart in all of the documents.
Yeah, I saw a chart that was supposed to be filled out for a hospitalization, and just, again, probably the way that things download from systems, you might want to make it a point to let the staff know. So this chart for hospitalization only covers 8 a.m. until midnight. So there are actually, in our medical records that we have copies of, it doesn't show that the pet received any care based on that treatment sheet.
Okay. Going back to the necropsy, I understand they didn't ask you about a necropsy. Generally, in the practice, if somebody asks about a necropsy, who do you use to do them, and how much are they? Do they generally run?
We use Midwestern for necropsies, and I believe they run. I actually don't know how much they run, but I think it's around $600, give or take.
Okay. And then, and so any communication that happened after the 1 o'clock, before the 10 o'clock, you're not aware of, but you were the one to talk to the client at 10 o'clock. Is that normal practice for the clinic to have a doctor that hasn't seen the patient for the last 10 hours be the one communicating what happened?
So typically, so I had been the night shift that night when we admitted Buddy, and then I was on the next night as well, so had he been stable through the day, I've come in at 4, done my assessment, and contacted the owner with an update for myself at that point. However, since I was the main doctor on his case, that's why the nurses contacted me when they started performing CPR. There were other doctors in the building overseeing the CPR, but as I was the doctor on his case and I had had the contact with the owners up to this point, that's why they let me know, and I was then, and then I contacted.
When the patient was triaged and given the initial estimate, do you recall what was on the high end that was declined?
Most likely potentially it could have been the fecal send out for the diarrhea panel. It may have been with our high ends, you know, we have a lot of buffering with our medications and hospital medications to go home. Additional blood work rechecking, that
type of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. On the low end, everything was approved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Regarding the blood work and the progression of the case, at what point did you review the blood work?
I reviewed it, I believe it was around, it was actually just before he had his seizure that I was reviewing his blood work.
Oh, so it wasn't before the explosive diarrhea?
No, that was during diagnostics that the bloody diarrhea happened.
Okay. So the blood work couldn't have changed your treatment plan if you didn't review it until that point in time. But when was it drawn, and when were the results available to anyone?
The results, I believe, were available around either 11:30 or midnight. We had probably drawn it between 11 and 11:30.
And when did the explosive bloody diarrhea occur?
That occurred while we were taking x-rays. That was the first thing we did, which would have been closer to that 11 o'clock mark.
11 o'clock.
Most likely.
Okay.
Anything else?
Any other questions? Okay, thank you. You may step back. We will hear from the complainant now in this case. Sandra, if you'd like to come forward. Please introduce yourself for the record.
I'm Sandra Mount. Buzz, Buddy's mom.
Sandra, I would like to swear you in at this time. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
So thank you for being here today. We know you are the complainant, of course, in this case, and we've read all the materials that you have provided, and it's now your turn to address the board.
Okay. First of all, when I brought Buddy in, he walked in, he didn't have to be carried. Even when they took him to the back to be examined, he walked back. prior to me even leaving, she had given me the results and said that the reason why it took so long for her to come back in was because of the explosive diarrhea. So all of that had occurred before I even left for the night. When she did call me at one, stating that he had a seizure, but he came out of it on his own. So hearing that, I wasn't as concerned. She said if anything changed, that I would get a phone call, in which I didn't. My concern is if she had stated that she felt that he had the seizure due to his low blood glucose, why wasn't that administered immediately versus it wasn't administered until 6 a.m. when his level was at 117? Where was the monitoring of him? Because obviously he didn't get the true monitoring that he should have, because per the record it said that he was closely monitored. They state that they found him at 10 the next morning. My concern is then, why did I not get a phone call until 10:15? And per the CPR records that they sent me, CPR was not started until 10:14. So what happened in that time? Did it seriously take them almost 14 minutes to even start CPR? Because at that point, it's not for the, I work at a hospital, so I know you have to respond pretty quickly. The fact that he wasn't able to swallow, that should have been a huge concern. So he didn't even receive the medicines that he should have gotten way before then. I just feel that there was a huge lack of care for my boy. I left several messages for her to call me. It took almost a week for her to call me. There was no remorse whatsoever in her voice. When I did inquire about the necropsy when I went to pick him up, I was told that I was looking at close to $5,000, and more than likely it would come back inconclusive. So it probably wouldn't be worth it. And then, of course, after the fact, I find out that it probably would have been between $300 and $500, in which I would have immediately done. My other huge concern, and it's something that I'll probably never get out of my head, is when I went to see him, he was completely stiff. If he had just passed 2 hours prior to me getting there, he shouldn't have been as stiff as he was. And the smell of death was so overwhelming. I now really question, when did he truly pass? And they just found him. So did something happen at that 6 o'clock hour when they gave him glucose and then they just didn't even check him? Where was the check when the new vet came on the following morning? Did no one, you know, if he's in an ICU unit, they should have been able to see him immediately if he was in any kind of distress.
Thank you. This is difficult. Do any board members have any questions for Sandra?
Sorry for your loss.
It's still, it's hard. He was my best friend, literally. And I put all my trust in these guys. And I had seen him, you know, I've been to Canyon for 15 years. So I have no clue what happened. And then, yeah, to get that letter on October 11th stating that he was returned to me in stable condition, just, I said, so now you're kind of going, was that my boy that passed? Because you can't even, because the smell was just so overwhelming that I couldn't pull back the blanket. So you wonder, okay, so was that him? I even called the crematory and said, did you case scan for a chip? And they said that no, they were told that they didn't need to. And all they could tell me, they couldn't tell me a color, that per the records, he was 60 pounds. So again, all these questions, and I just haven't gotten any answers.
Are there any other questions from board members for Sandra? Okay, thank you, Sandra. You can go ahead and step back now.
Thank you.
Dr. McKennedy, you can come forward. again, and if you have any additional remarks or questions that you would like to ask, you may do so.
Definitely not how we wanted this case to turn out. My biggest regret during this whole case was not appropriately communicating with the client about how actually severe her dog's case was. And that is something I have been working on since, but that is definitely my biggest. If I could go back and change anything, I would try to iterate more succinctly how, okay, just because he did walk in, he is currently, you know, he's laying on the ground, he's not really interested in anything, he's an older dog, he's having all these issues, this is not, likely not something he's going to bounce back quickly from. And the resulting, and the additional paperwork mishaps, a very unfortunate thing that we have taken, you know, steps to rectify, that these never happen again.
Thank you. Do board members have any final questions?
Just to follow up on what I asked you earlier about the blood work done in hospital and wasn't available to you for 2 hours, would that be normal, customary?
On urgent care shifts, yes.
It can take 2 hours for an in-hospital blood work to be available for you to read. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that it was available earlier, but you didn't get to it.
Right.
It wasn't available.
It was not available.
Okay.
Thank you. This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter.
So this is case 2445. And I mean, obviously what had come out of the investigative committee was mostly the medical records with the lack of documentation on the x-rays. And I think we have an answer to that that is pretty reasonable and an understanding of how that happened. I think the reason for moving, when we saw this initially, the reason for moving this onto the informal, for me anyway, was more about the amount of communication with regards to what was going on throughout Buddy's care, right? Like, we just heard, I wish I had communicated better on how severe this case actually was, but I feel like the communication was rough all night. Like, we have a seizure that occurred at somewhere around the 1 a.m. and the owner was contacted, but then we have notes that say the dog remained with bad mentation all the way through till 6 a.m. We have inability to swallow. You know, here at 1 a.m. we have a seizure that the dog apparently came out of, and we tell the owner we'll call as things get worse, and then things get worse, significantly worse from what I'm reading, and nobody contacted the owner. And then there's like a 8:40, you know, communication note, and then there's like this 10 a.m. we found him no longer breathing and blood out. And I'm just going, if a dog is being monitored as closely as this dog was, why do we have these gaps in when things happened? And I think that's my biggest issue. My concern here, though, is this doctor was no longer in the practice, right? So this case, in my mind, should have been transferred to another doctor, and the other doctor should have been responsible for what was going on through the night and communication with the owner. But it doesn't sound like this case really got transferred to anybody outside of people just kind of overseeing it, and no one felt it was even their responsibility to contact the owner until 10 a.m. when they call this doctor to come back in and call the owner. Like, I don't even understand how that makes sense, unless I'm just drastically missing something here. And I do think there was a communication issue. I think this dog was declining, and HG is a pretty rapidly progressing condition, so I can see why this progressed at the rate it did. But what I don't understand is why that wasn't communicated. So that's been my biggest issue. I think the issue with the letter is also a huge concern, but that doesn't fall on this veterinarian. I would say that falls on the responsible veterinarian for the practice.
Yeah, that was someone like copying and pasting a letter and not realizing that they...
But firing a client's a pretty big deal. If you're not paying enough attention that you
did this and then firing the client, that's a problem.
Firing them and telling them their dog is still alive.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not like something that, you don't fire clients every day, like, oh, by the way, it just happened, it was a mishap. No, that's a serious letter, I think, but.
I'm also concerned about the monitoring, and I agree that that's a responsible veterinarian responsibility for, to make sure that the protocols are in effect, that staff is assigned to do monitoring, especially in such critical cases where there's been a major, sounds like what was a major seizure from a layperson's point of view, and followed by the inability to swallow. I'm not comfortable that sufficient monitoring occurred.
Well, and can the vets speak to the idea of when she describes when she did view Buddy that it seemed like a lot more time had actually passed?
Yes.
Well, yeah, we had hemorrhagic diarrhea. There's going to be a smell.
Yeah.
And it's going to be bad.
Okay.
Yeah, it smells horrible. Yeah. It
smells
every time.
And especially after they've passed, right?
Right.
Because stuff that would have normally stayed in now is kind of.
It's an alarming smell to an owner, but it's a normal smell to us.
Yeah.
So it's not necessary. I know we can't
prove like smell normal.
How long had
it
potentially been?
It's an alarming smell.
It is.
And even if you had said, when was the last time we have documentation that the pet was seen alive?
Right.
We definitely, within the hour of that, we have it. So it wasn't like it went out like 12 hours and that's why the dog smelled.
So.
What, can I ask another question? What time did you leave the practice?
I believe it was around 2:30 in the morning.
So, I mean, I guess I go back to, we still have this overnight care that I don't think was appropriate, but is that, I guess my question is, should we open a case against the responsible veterinarian to find out more about what happened overnight and pend answering this one until we know? Because that could actually change.
Because we have to be fair to any veterinarian, to any person in the job, and be like, when you're off, you're off.
I don't think she should have been called at 10 a.m. to call this owner, but I don't know how that practice works.
Right. Well, and that's where it's like, we're going to have to start looking at these practices, because like I said, we see this kind of thing happen. We had another case where it's like, okay, we need to actually have a scheduling thing taken care of, and we're seeing hospitals be like, well, they're not a vet, so it is what it is, and it's like, then close. Right. You can't just piecemeal it together. Yeah. So I agree, there's something deeper going on.
I just feel like I'm a little hesitant to make a motion on this case and close it out. But I know we're in an informal, so I...
Yeah,
we can pen it.
Yeah, we can pen it.
Continue it.
Because we'll have to, if we open a case, we open it until next month?
Yep.
I mean, that can push us back to another 90 days before we can touch this one again?
I can, if you open the case, I can send a letter out and get a response.
Okay.
They can both be on the same agenda.
So we can try and resolve it next month. I just don't want to leave it open for 60 or 90 days.
Yeah, we want to hear from the responsible veterinarian's response on that case before we have the informal.
And I would also ask, could we get full copies of like the treatment sheet? Because again, it's cut off, so you don't even know if certain things were done. And it just so happens to be the hours that Buddy was there are the hours that are cut off. And then I could not find in the medical records that we got the actual CPR chart. So those would just be things I think would be important for us to review.
Yeah, I was going more off of the communications, which isn't great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like I was going off the communication log, because there could have been more done than what was put in the communication log. I just can't tell that. Okay, so I'm
Can I interject just one thing? Since we have the complaint with the owner here, I would like to discuss a little bit regarding the treatment plan for this patient. And I got the answers that I wanted, but there was very little discussion here about those blood results. Not only did we have liver elevations off the chart, we were in stage 3 renal disease also. So this was a potentially septicemia, multi-organ failure case, and it ties in with your communication, but that's why I was asking about when this blood work
came back.
When did she see it? Because the treatment plan was based on a standard HPE case. We have bloody diarrhea and we're going to start fluids and we'll probably get better. And tomorrow we'll start a little food. You know, it was a straight what you do with an HDE case. Well, that's not what the case we had. So that's why my questions about the blood work, because based on that blood work, this was a critical, potentially septicemic multi-organ failure dog. Is that agreed? Did you? Yeah, okay.
Well, I just feel like this dog was certainly much more severe than what was necessarily being communicated. And here you have an owner that's like, my dog walked in. Well, your dog walked in on death's door, but unfortunately we can't, that wasn't known
or communicated. So my concern was, when was that blood work? And was the treatment plan adequate based on that blood work? Well, what we learned is she didn't get that blood work till
2:30.
Till 2:30. So that explains that, unfortunately.
But at 2,
one a.m., so around 1 a.m., you got the blood results.
I thought she said 12:30 to 1, and she left at
2. Midnight, 1.
So she got the blood work before she left.
Okay.
Right.
She left at 2:30. Right.
But I'm saying, if the blood work had been run, stat, I got it now, here's what we got, then your communication issue comes into play, and we are explaining to an owner that our prognosis at this point is grave.
Well, and I guess at the
we're HDE and we might get better.
At the point of calling about the seizure, is that when the blood work was discussed with the owner? Sorry.
I did not discuss with the owner at that point the blood work findings, because I was worried about the seizure.
So was the liver or kidney function abnormalities ever discussed with the owner?
Honestly, I don't think they were. Not to a full extent.
Then I'm glad we had this discussion so the owner can understand.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we make a motion to append.
So I'm going to make a motion that we continue this case to the next, well, to when we hear the other case. And we'll open a case with the responsible veterinarian for the practice for next month.
Second.
And request those extra records.
Yes, and get the detailed charts, hospitalization charts, as well as the CPR log.
And the flow sheet. But yeah. So I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion, we have a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. The board has voted to append this item to a future date. I want to thank everyone for being here today, and I want the owner to know that while we certainly appreciate you being able to come to future meetings, please note that your participation, because I know we have your statement, and so you're certainly welcome to come in the future, but I realize that this can be a lot of time spent between the investigative committee and the initial investigative review, and then a formal, informal, and then now we're continuing it. So
can you complain and call in and listen telephonically?
Yeah, you could also participate via phone. Again, I just wanted to put that out there, because I know it's kind of, we want to pen this case so that we can make sure we're doing a very thorough examination, but I certainly understand, everybody's time, is valuable. And so I just wanted to just put that out there. So,
and I know it's not on the record, but I was told about the HDE before I even left at midnight that night.
Okay. Thank you. So, so again, we are going to pen this matter. And this concludes this one for today. And again, thank you everyone for being here, okay? All right, if anybody wants to just,